It's a busy lunch hour at Cajun Seafood on Claiborne Avenue. NOLA.com food writer Brett Anderson walks up to the counter to place his order.
How about we do a half dozen crabs and 3 pounds of crawfish?
Scanning the crowded dining room, it's hard to imagine what Anderson calls an epidemic of worry that took hold right after the spill.
You have to remember, that was literally weeks and months on end where you could turn on the TV at any time of the day and see an oil well leaking unabated into the Gulf of Mexico. And if there was anyone that was standing up and saying, oh, there's nothing to worry about here, it just didn't seem right that that person should be trusted.
But Anderson never stopped eating Gulf seafood, even when covering the spill. He defends that such amped up monitoring and testing made it the safest time to eat the stuff.
It was hard for me to believe that the guys at Commander's Palace were going to let some oily piece of crab end up in their dining room. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. There's a lot of eyes that get set on this seafood. So that, you know, that's just my perspective as a diner.
As director for national retail sales at the New Orleans Fish House, Michael Ketchum cares about Anderson's perspective. Inside the chilly and smelly prep room, workers in hairnets and rubber gloves have been up since dawn cleaning and packing fish that heads to the city's restaurants by noon.
We supply almost every restaurant in the city. We supply Acme Oyster House, we supply Commander's Palace, we supply Emeralds, all the Brennan's restaurants. We're running 300 and 500 deliveries a day.
But Ketchum's lost customers over the past 5 years.
It was rough. I mean, you got some people that are turned off by it. I've run into those as well. They're like, I won't eat it. I won't try it. There's no chance. They're afraid of it. You know, they're like, oh, it's full of oil and stuff like that. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unanswered questions.
By now, most of that doubt has died down. Guys like Michael Ketchum travel the country convincing grocery stores and restaurants that Gulf seafood is the way to go. And the Louisiana Seafood and Marketing Board pump out ads like this.
Be sure you're buying certified Louisiana seafood. Certified that it's from the rich Gulf waters that give our seafood outstanding flavor. And guaranteed it was caught by a Louisiana fisherman carrying on a
to ensure a safe and bountiful product. So customer confidence has been restored, but now there's a new problem. Supply. Over in the French Quarter, the 135-year-old P&J Oyster Company has also lost a lot of local and national customers. The oysters they're getting don't meet company standards, so they won't sell them. Owner Al Sanseri.
And it's disturbing to us because we seem helpless about the whole thing because we just can't get the high-quality product that we always demanded.
And do you attribute that to the spill?
Absolutely, positively. We did fine after World War I. During World War I, during World War II, during the Depression, during all the recessions, during all the environmental issues, until this happened.
Sanseri won't even call it a spill.
And I'll never say it's anything more than a disaster. It's not a spill, because spills are easily cleanable. And this is the gift that keeps on giving.
He looks at a map on the wall in his office of all the oyster growing areas in Louisiana. Of the 10 or so areas that P&J got their oysters from, less than half are now producing oysters. Sanseri says it's smaller species that oysters eat, like plankton, that are having trouble surviving since the spill. They don't have enough food, so they don't repopulate. His son Blake is next in line to take over, but the family's not sure whether P&J will survive.
But I got oyster water in my blood now, just like I think my brother and my son do. It's hard to think about him having to hear all of this. Put yourself in that position. When you're thinking you're going to be able to take over this old company that's succeeded, and we continued to build assets over the years, now those assets are dwindling, and my brother and myself having to put money in the company to keep it open.
Down in Hopedale, Louisiana, commercial fisherman Tony Gutierrez also worries about the next generation.
A lot of these younger kids, I've been telling them over the years to get education, don't look down the line for this.
Gutierrez has been catching crabs for 50 years. At first, it seemed like crabs were back after the spill. But for the past few years, his traps are coming up empty. He blames the dispersants used to sink the oil to the bottom of the Gulf, that the chemicals destroyed the beds where crabs lay their eggs. Fewer areas to catch crabs means more competition.
Yeah, everybody's being shoved between Hopedale Bayou all the way to Point Lahash. It's putting too many fishermen in one spot.
There's the irony. After the spill, people needed to be convinced to eat seafood that was available. Now consumers want it, and it's hard to find. That's why Gutierrez is struggling to meet the demands of customers he's had for decades, like Jerry Harris, who owns Harris Crab House in Baltimore, Maryland.
Our restaurant used to use anywhere from 300 to 350 boxes of crabs a week out of Louisiana.
Now they're lucky to buy a third of that, Harris says. This has caused a kind of identity crisis for him. Harris says he wishes his place was called Harris Fish House or Harris Seafood House, but not Harris Crab House.
It wouldn't necessarily say that I got crabs. You know what I mean? When a customer walks into the restaurant, oh, you don't have no crabs today? Well, you're Harris Crab House. It's hard to tell these people I don't have crabs.
For the first time since opening in 1932, Harris Crab House has added steaks to its menu. Michael Ketchum of New Orleans Fish House also worries about making a living down the line.
I may be trying to build a career here and it may go away. Who knows? I'm banking 2015 sales on product that's not even born yet, not even harvested. I know historically it's been there, but now we've done something to the environment.
Thank you.
This is why food writer Brett Anderson keeps eating Gulf seafood. If anything, Anderson says, he eats it more now than he did before the spill.
It was endangered, and I think it's delicious. I know it really matters to the sort of well-being of the place that I live and love. And when I'm out of town and I see it on a menu, I don't know, my eyes light up a little bit and I want to support it.
Today, you probably won't ask if the seafood's safe, just where to find it. For WWNO, I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
123.
Ringer, please.